presence up and thank Him. Thank Him for the first half of this year. Thank Him for His mercies, His goodness, His kindness. The Bible says, because of the mercies of the Lord that we are not consumed, because His compassion fail not. Just lift those hands and thank Him. Give Him praise. Thank Him. Thank Him for the way He watched over you. Thank Him for the way He kept you safe, sane, and sound. Thank Him for provision, for protection, for preservation, for the progress you have made thus far. Oh, we give you praise, Jehovah. We recognize, oh God, that for this first half of the year, it's been you. If it were not you, we would have not survived. When men came up against us, when circumstances came up against us, when situations came up against us, you were our refuge, you were our hiding place, you were our strong tower, you were our keeper. You're the keeper of Israel. You are the one that neither sleep nor slumber. Thank you. Thank you. Somebody saying thank you to Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Many times we worked out and came back safe. It's because you kept us. The fact that we did not have accident is because you protected us. Thank you, oh Father, for frustrating the devices of the crafty, that their hands cannot perform their enterprise. We give you the praise for our families. We give you the praise for our church. We give you praise for our pastor. We thank you, Lord God Almighty, for the joy we share, for the hope we have, for the future expectations we have. We return the praise, the glory to you. Thank you for beautifying our lives. Thank you for your word that has come endlessly and ceaselessly to us. Thank you for the revelation of your word. Thank you for the transformation that has come out of your word. Thank you for the reformation. Thank you for the elevation. Thank you for the promotion. Thank you, Lord, for all you have done for us. Thank you for our children. We are grateful. We are grateful. In Jesus' name, we have given thanks. Now, one more prayer point, and it's about you asking God what you want God to do for you. As we come to the last day of this renewal, halftime renewal conference, I want you to go to God specifically and ask. Like they said, with the man at the beautiful gate, he looked on them expecting something. Your expectation will become your experience and your reality. God will do, you know, what you expect. So I don't want you to come casually into this meeting today. Go to God. Do you need direction? Do you need help? Do you need miracle? Do you need a sign? Do you need a wonder? The Bible says He sent His word and He healed them. That as the word come, let the word address your condition, your situation, and your circumstance, and give you complete and total victory. That this hour and this moment, that God Himself will speak a word to you. He will send a message to you. That the anointing will break every yoke, break every limitation, and put you together for the next hour. Father, we give you thanks as we receive from you this hour. Thank you because the floodgates of heavens are open. Thank you, O God, because you are raining down upon us. Your rains is coming down from heaven, O God of heavens. Thank you, O God, for meeting the needs and the expectations of everyone. No one will go back out of this meeting the same. No one will go back, O God, without their needs and their expectations met, because we have come to meet with you, the only true God. O God of heavens, we give you praise. We offer up all the expectations and all the prayers to you. Thank you because you are the prayer answering God, and to you shall all flesh come. As we have gathered together this hour and this moment, from the very throne of heaven, send your word, send light, send illumination, send help, send direction, Lord God Almighty, and let everyone have a testimony of your goodness. And prepare us adequately in this last session for the things to come. For the remaining part of this year, give us the anointing, the empowerment, the enablement, the grace to excel and to exceed. For everything said, done, we return the praise, the glory to you. As your name is glorified and the church is edified, in Jesus' name we pray. If you believe that, shout a big amen. Put your hands together for Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. Now you may be seated if you can. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I've had a good time here. Amen. If not that, no, Come on, shut my door. Take me away. It's been beautiful. It's been nice, nice. I first and foremost want to honor and to celebrate the set man over this house, the angel of the house, the messenger of the house. Set man, thank you. Amen. Thank you for all you do. Now, I do recognize that it's very difficult to find pastors that have this kind of thinking. To be honest with you, when I came in here December, I spoke on building your home. And I talked a little bit around these areas and all that. And it got me really thinking because for an anniversary, Thanksgiving, you're talking about building your home. And then follow up with a message like this, the Word Foundation, that tells you that it's a church that is going somewhere. Amen. Amen. It's a church that will last the test of time. Amen. Praise the Lord. It's a church for the future. Amen. It's built to last. Surpassing Grace Assembly is built to last. So you are in good hands and you are in good company. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Reverend Setman, for all you do. And then our leaders, you know, all the support systems, God bless you, multiply you, increase you in Jesus' name. And for our choir, God got a message for you. Amen. And all of you, members of the Surpassing Grace Assembly, can you give yourself a good hand? Yeah. Okay. I love God's word. I've lived by it all my life. Everything you see in my life came from the word. You know, so when you tell me to come and preach along this line, I'm excited because it's within my jurisdictions, you know. Today, I know God got a word for you, and it's a good word. Praise the Lord. It's a word that will help you. James chapter 1, verse 19 to 25. Two readings. This reading, then we'll go to our team text. You know, James chapter number 1, verse 19 to 25. Says, wherefore, my beloved brethren, let everyone be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Wherefore lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word which is able to save your souls. But be ye doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any man be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way, straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he be not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work. This man shall be blessed in his deed. If any man among you seemeth to be religion and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is vain. Pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless, the widows in their affliction, and to keep himself unspotted from the world. Luke chapter number 6. Our team text, verse 46 to 49. Luke 6, 46 to 49. And why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? Whosoever cometh to me and heareth my sayings and doeth them, I will show you to whom he is like. He is like a man which built an house and dig deep and laid the foundation on the rock. And when the flood arose and the stream beat vehemently upon the house and could not shake it, for it was founded upon a rock. But he that heareth and doeth not is like the man that is without a foundation and built an house upon the earth, against which the stream did beat vehemently, and immediately it fell, and the ruin of it was great. Okay. Now in verse 46, you would get to see, as Jesus opened that text up, Say, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do the things which I say? I am only Lord in your life to the degree that you obey my sayings. So from the beginning of our text, the master was raising an issue. What was the issue? The doing, the obeying, or the practicing of his word. That was the issue he was raising. Now in verse 47, it says, anyone who comes to me and hears my sayings and does it, look at this thing. This is how the man is going to look like. He's going to look like a man who dug deep and then reached out to the rock to lay the foundation, to lay, his house on the foundation. Who dug deep and then I like the way the Bible put it. Who dig deep and lay the foundation on the rock. So you lay the foundation on the rock. Now, we did recognize the other day that the rock from 1 Corinthians 10 is Jesus. Jesus is the rock. The rock is immovable, is solid, and is strong substructure. So, we all are here, and we hear, when we hear and do God's word, we are building our church, our family, our homes, our ministries on the rock. On the contrary, if you hear God's word and you are not doing it, though you are born again and you say you have received Jesus, the rock, what Jesus is saying is that you are not building your house on the rock. You are not laying your foundation on the rock. You are laying it on sand. And that got me really thinking. I thought, okay, since I've got born again and I've received Jesus, who is the rock? That means I'm already on the rock. No, Jesus said, no, it doesn't follow. What follows is that whether you are born again or you are not born again, laying foundation on the rock means that you hear the word of God on every aspect of your life and you do it. That is what he meant by laying foundation on the rock. So a believer, who hears the word and does not do it, is laying his foundation on the sand. Now, when you build on the rock, you know that it takes time. That's why at times you see many of the world churches, it takes time to really grow. But when it grows, it's stable, it's strong, it's beautiful. All the mesmerizing paparazzi, you don't have it around. Amen. So it takes time to build on the rock, and it is tough to build on the rock. Just imagine it. You got to drill deep, on the rock. The man building on the sand would have finished. Done housewarming. This is what happened on the sand. And the edifice would have been beautiful. And they would dance all the dance. And gather all his friends, And had a good time. You can see this finish. And if it looks so impressive, people would be impressed and just say, man, my guy, you don't finish that house. His house, well built, smart house, computerized. Yeah. 20-bedroom house, everything fitted, looking wonderful, magnificent, So they couldn't even be priding themselves on the beauty of the house. But the day will come, all those two houses, the storms will come, the rains will come, the winds will blow. Now, if any pastor tells you that there will be no storm, there will be no rain, there will be no wind, he told you a lie. And these are the things we have fed the people. We have given them one side of the gospel. Now the danger to that is that when you give people only one side, the beauty of it, come to Jesus, Jesus will heal you. Come to Jesus, he will give you a spouse. Come to Jesus, he will give you children. Come to Jesus, he will make you rich. And you did not tell them the full issue. When things happen, they are devastated that some of them cannot gather themselves together. So if you know that these things will happen, a wise master builder, the wise man, when you say a wise man, you know, when you say the wise man built on the rock, what he was saying, that the wise man in that text was saying, a thinking man, a man who is thinking, we know that one day, storm will come, rain will come, you know, the wind will blow. And that was exactly what happened. The two houses eventually were finished and were subjected to the storm, the rains and the wind. And after the rain and the storm, one collapsed. And the Bible says great was his crash. And the other one was still standing. The problem was not the rain. The problem was not the wind. The problem was not the storm. The problem was, what did they build their houses on? So Jesus was paying particular attention to the foundation. You need to revisit your foundation and pay particular attention. The foundation is the most critical part to heavy building. The foundation of your life is the most critical part of your life. The foundation of your marriage is the most critical part of your marriage. I don't understand how people will wake up and build their marriages on tradition and opinions of men and not God's word. It's not going to last. And do you know that today the divorce rate is about 50-50? Even in the church. So out of two marriages, one is going down. And the unfortunate is that some of them are not even lasting up to 6 months. You know, they don't do again. What happened there? Did you follow due process and all that? This is not it. I mean, but I'm not going to get married and all that. And somebody say, Dr. Jimmy, what's up? When are you going to marry? And I say, I have 100 days fasting. Say, really? Yes, sir, 100 days fasting. I saw the girl. I like her. Everything about her. I still had to inquire from God. There are things you don't see. There are some things you don't see on X-ray. For instance, we snap demon. You won't see a show on X-ray. X-ray will not show it. But today I'm so glad I took some of those decisions. You understand? I'm saying, Father, thank you. Father, thank you. Father, because see, when you get married, for instance, and you marry the wrong person, you are very close to hell gates. And if you're a pastor, you turn from a theologian to a philosopher. This world is not my own. I'm just passing through. Oh boy, even as a pastor, I can't stop. Believe me, I can't. I mean, one of our church members just recently, and the issue there, you know, when two people are on their head and neck, and then they're calling themselves narcissists. This person is a narcissist. They want to kill themselves. Irreconcilable. There is no way. It's so serious that it has went to the intercontinental pastor. Before they came back to me, I said, you don't reach Supreme Court if they come back to me. No border. Nobody, I mean, you don't have enough respect for the resident pastor on the ground. You have an issue because you have new connection. You went to intercontinental, but the team bounced there. They couldn't handle it. Then they came back. No, I said, you have been to Supreme Court. No worry. Go there. You know? So your foundation, hold things up and hold things together. So you want to pay close and careful attention. And that was what Jesus was about. And he had defined it straight. The people who hear the things I say and do them, they are the people who build their houses on the rock. Now, because I don't have too much time, I wanted to give you the symbols of the world. You know, different symbols, about 19 symbols of God's word. I mean, and what they represent, you know, as symbols, they illustrate what the word will do for us. Like the word is a fire, the word is a hammer, the word is a lamp, the word is a mirror, the word is a seed, the word is like a sword, the word is like water, the word is like bread, the word is like anchor, the word is like meat, the word is like rain. But because I don't have time, I don't want to explain any of that. But I just felt, let me help you, to encourage you, so that you can take the word seriously. As I was rounding up yesterday, that scripture in Psalm 19, verse 7 to 10, five benefits of God's word. 5 benefits of God's word. You know, we are Africans, and I just discovered Africans like benefits, anything that will benefit them. You know, do you know that most of the churches where you see a lot of people exploded, you know what the pastors did? What the pastors did was that they knew the psychology of human beings. So they put inside them, what is in need for me? You understand? So it's not just come and love God, serve God. I mean, no, no, no. Say, this is the package for you. As you evangelize, God will give you this. As you, you know, I mean, that's that transactionary thing. You know, that's what is holding many of those, many explosive churches. So Africans like benefits. So 5 benefits from the word, coming from Psalm 19, from 7 to 10. The first one is, the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. You understand? Now, that word converting, if you read the NIV, it talks about refreshing or restoring the soul. So the number one thing the word would do for you is to bring about refreshing, revival, and restoration of your soul. God's word offers the greatest, purest, deepest rest for your soul. Many people's soul today are worried. They can't rest. The blood pressure of many people are always on the high. Even the drugs can no more control it. You understand? So the rest for your soul. You know, the revival, the restoration, the refreshing, you know, the reviving of your soul. It is come from the word of the Lord. God's word revitalizes and refreshes you. It's in Isaiah 26, verse 3, he says, we'll keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on him because he trusts in him. How do you stay your mind on God? To stay your mind on God is to stay your mind on the word of God. Perfect peace. That word, perfect peace. You know, shalom is peace. You know, that word, perfect peace, is shalom, shalom in the Hebrew. So it will keep him in perfect peace, in completeness, spirit, soul, and body. You understand? Completeness, wholeness. It will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on him because he trusts in him. Number 2 benefit of God's word is that the testimonies or the stature of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes or the testimonies of the Lord, they are sure, they are trustworthy. That is to say, this word is sure. And you know, so somebody who came to me once, I was telling me, Pastor, I've done this, I've done this. I said, you have not done everything. Don't say that. The Bible says, I lay in Zion for a foundation, a stone, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone. He that believeth shall not be disappointed. He that believeth shall not make haste. Peter quoted one from the Isaiah, you know. So God said, I lay in Zion for a foundation, a stone, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone. He that believeth shall not be disappointed. He that believeth shall not make haste. Oh, somebody shout glory. So the testimonies or the status of the Lord are sure. I mean, if you read the book of Luke chapter 1, I could not go there during the week. Luke was talking about the narrative of the declaration. Now, the book of Luke was detailed. It was written by a doctor like Dr. Setman. You understand? It took time to combine Matthew and Mark, and then took time to talk to all of the witnesses. For instance, Jesus' mother, you know, and all of the apostles. It took time to talk to them before he wrote the book of Luke. So when you see the book of Luke, in Luke chapter 1, I think, let me just read that so you get to know, because the certainty and the surety of the thing. Luke chapter 1, verse 1, you know, to 4. For as much as I've taken in hand to set forth in the order of a declaration of those things which were most surely believed. Look at that. The things that were most surely believed among us, even as they delivered them unto us, which from the beginning were eyewitnesses and ministers of the word. It seemed good to me also, having had a perfect understanding, of all things from the very first, to write unto thee in the order most excellent Theophilus. You know, Theophilus, chunk one, the love of God. That thou maintainest, look at that, thou mightest know the certainty of those things wherein thou hast been instructed. The certainty. We are sure. We are certain. The word of God is sure. The doctrines of God are sure. So the Bible says in Psalm 19, go back to Psalm 19, the testimonies of the Lord are sure. That's why you can bet your life on it. You know, I mean, when you see me act on God's word, my goodness, you say, this man is crazy. Yeah, I'm really, really. You know, because there are no other sure grounds. The reason why, see, listen, there are no other guarantee anywhere. Nobody and nothing has a guarantee for you on this earth. Only the word of God. There is no guarantee for nobody from nothing. It's just the word of God. So I am so glad about the word of God. So when I found it, and I know that this is infallible, this is inherent, this is indestructible, I can put my life on it. I knew that I had to hug it with everything. And I've hugged it, and I am not disappointed. I am happy. Oh, that I made a decision to hold the Bible tight. There are so many people, they just come to certain stages in their life and discover that all the things they believe, the opinions they held, were bubbles. Even the people around them were not sure people. They were not solid people. So the testimonies of the Lord are sure. Look at what he does. Make it wise is simple. So number two, the word of God makes wise simple. The word of God makes wise. Time alone does not make wise. Old age alone. You know, Job was saying that thought old age will speak wisdom. He does not see. There are a lot of, many people who are old, but they are idiots. You know, with all due respect. You understand? So, old age alone does not speak wisdom. It takes faithful commitment to the word of God over time to be wise. That's why he was telling them in 2 Timothy, we read yesterday, you know, he was telling Timothy, from a child, from an infant, you have known the Holy Scriptures. You have become acquainted with the Holy Scripture. And that's a challenge to every one of us, to our kids. I mean, they have known chemistry, they have known history, they have known biology, and they don't know the word. No, now, it's not good enough. As I'm going back, I'm going to sit with my boy. He's 7 years. I say, I told the mother, when he's 7, hand him over to me. You understand? That's the Jewish culture now. They hand him over to me so I can ascribe in his heart the law. I can program him to succeed. There is a programming. When you program them inside, listen, that's the training you're talking about. Training, you will not depart. See, I didn't know what happened, though. The boy just strayed away. You know, the demons in it is a lie. You didn't train him well. You didn't train him well. And listen, it's a very big heartache to see your sons and your children delay even in your lifetime. There is no, nothing pains a father more than that. As you know, some politicians, it's like bubbles. Their children already, imagine how you raise a child at 40. He cannot take care of himself. He cannot take care of his wife. He cannot take care, you know, of a job. He can't hold anything. What a sad thing. So we want to train our children, and the training manual is the word of God. I will still get there. You know, so number three, the precepts of the Lord, next verse, the precepts or the status of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. You know, the NIV says the precepts of the Lord are right, giving joy to the heart. Number three, God's word give joy. Somebody shout joy. Somebody shout joy. Somebody say, I have joy. I read Jeremiah 15, verse 16. It says, I found your word and I ate them, and your words became the joy and the rejoicing of my soul. Hey, Shakata Balea, look at that. Thy words were found. And I ate them. That's it, I digested them. And thy words were found. And then now, thy word was unto me joy and rejoicing of the heart. For I am called by thy name, O Lord of hosts. You can't stay with God's word and eat the word and digest the word. And you say you are depressed. It's not the word you collected. We have a lot of people who have mental depression, mental illness. I mean, it's because they don't stay with God's word. I mean, they did my birthday celebration in church, you know, just to cut a cake. And my assistant pastor was telling them, have you ever seen pastor one day came here in the 5 years he's pastored his church that he was sad, he was moody, he was down, he was not happy? Say, not none. And that is it. The word of God. Energized by Makuse Balagadu Satahataya. The Holy Ghost on the inside of you is a well of joy. And the Bible says with joy, you know, Isaiah 12:3, you will draw from the wells of salvation. Everything is inside you, but look at, therefore with joy shall you draw from the waters, out of the wells of salvation. There is salvation. Everything you need is on the inside of you. But you will need joy to draw it out from it. Psalm 119 verse 111. Say, your status are joy of my heart. You know, Psalm 119 verse 11. Thy testimonies have I taken as an heritage. You know what that means by as an heritage? As your most prized possession. Are you seeing what this man is saying? Your testimonies, your commandment, your word, have I taken as an heritage, my most prized possession or my internal possession forever, for they are the rejoicing of my heart. The translator said they are the joy. They are the joy of my heart. So go back to Psalm, that's number 3, Psalm 19 verse 7 to 10. Now the next one is, the commandments of the Lord are radiance, giving light to the eyes. You know, the commandments of the Lord are pure, enlightening the eyes. So the next thing, number 4, God's word gives us light. Somebody say light. In Psalm 119 verse 105, you know, the Bible says, your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my heart. So your feet is your everyday step you take, and your path is your the horizon, the vision for the future, where you are going. The light, the word of God illuminates and lightens up. You know, so light talks about direction. Light talks about vision. If there's any problem people have today, there are many people who don't have direction and vision for their life. What is the vision for your life? Where are you going? You know, if you stay enough with God's word, it will give you direction. And I cannot tell you something. If you don't have vision or direction, you will not arrive. It's a very dangerous thing. That word vision, you know, when they say where there is no vision, the people perish. It talks about the fact that it was like the air band. They put together a lady's hair, and then they remove the band, and then the breeze blows. So the air goes in different direction. The only way to harness your energy, you know, and your power and your resources is to get vision that will give you direction so that your life can begin to make progress. And that's what the light of God means. It comes to give you direction. It comes to give you vision. It comes to help you to navigate in the midst of darkness. There's so much darkness in the world today. You need to have light to navigate the dark parts of this world. In Psalm 119 verse 18, the Bible says, the entrance of the word giveth light. I like one translation. This is how I put it. The unfolding of the word giveth light and understanding to the simple. Proverbs 6:23. For this commandment is a lamp, and the teaching is light. That's why you need to come to church where they will expound God's word. You know, not where they will just, I mean, morning to night, you know, somebody will be prophesying, talking, you know what I mean, and no word. But just give Jesus is passing by. What is that? Well, I mean, there's a lot of nonsense everywhere. A lot of nonsense. You know, in the first 5 years of my church, I don't know. I mean, God just told me to teach. So I spent time teaching. I was like the only one. So they said, you know when you pastor in the church, now only he they teach. The only he they teach, no one allow other people to go. Now I've opened the church for them. You understand? 5 years later, that lady so. Oh yeah, of course, but you have raised people, you know. But see, you need to be instructed in the word. See, that's the most important thing, to be instructed in the word. You understand? Beyond any other thing, the word of God. That's why I say, in the beginning was the word. The word of God must take first place in everything you do. Now, number five, you know, God's word is sweet to us. You know, go for that. Next verse. No, okay, next. Okay, more to be desired are they than gold. So the God's word is priceless, you understand, possession. So it's more to be desired than gold. Yea, even fine gold, in case you don't know. More than your 20, 30 carat gold. The word is more than it. And I just know that the women will believe that kind of thing. Now look at that, sweeter than honey and the honeycomb. Sweeter than it's sweeter. I'm sure you know that song. It's sweeter than the honey and the honeycomb. The word of God. I mean, look, Ezekiel chapter 3, verse 1 to 3. God told Ezekiel to eat the scroll, and when he did it, it was sweet as the honey. I mean, Ezekiel 3, 1 to 3. Moreover, he said unto me, son of man, eat that thou findest. Eat this roll and go speak unto the house of Israel. So I opened my mouth and he caused me to eat the roll. And he said unto me, son of man, cause thy belly to eat. Don't want Ezekiel to speak to us. Either. Okay. So the thing about it is that when you look at that, and fill the bowels with the scroll, that word in the other stanza is the scroll, and I gave thee, that I gave thee, then did I eat it, and it was in my mouth as honey for sweetness. The Lord, word of God will make your life sweet. It will make it tasty. You understand? Your life is so sweet that people want to hang around you. That as they actually, how you can't get this kind of sweet mouth? All the women, you know, you need to encourage your husbands to read the word so that they can tell you sweet things. Somebody say amen. It's Father's Day. Happy Father's Day, by the way. But I'm telling the fathers some of the issues with women. The woman will tell you that they are not talking. They are not affirming us. Do you know that every woman needs to be affirmed until you confirm them? I'm telling you, no matter how beautiful they are, they will not believe they are until you say it and say it and say it. And again, say it in a creative way, more creative way. That's the way they are created. You know, it's like God amplified their senses of hearing. You know, so they want to hear it. And not just say it in a bitter way. Say it in a sweet way. Say it in a soft way. Say it in a nice way. Say it in a kind way. And I know that when you do that, miracles will follow you in Jesus' name. However you interpret that one, God bless you. Okay, two dimensions of the word of God. Now, this is important again. As we proceed, the two dimensions of the word of God. Now, when you read the Bible, you will see the Bible is translated, the Old Testament in Hebrew, the New Testament in Greek. Now, when you see the Bible, you will just see the word, word, word. But all of them is translated differently. They are from two different words. You know, two different words, two different Greek words. Now, if you don't understand the meaning, it will affect your application. And many people have entered trouble. Like Reverend said, man, what you are telling us, and Jesus in Matthew 14 told Peter, come. And Peter went on that word, come. Peter walked on come. The word come was an under foundation for Peter to walk on water. Peter was walking on come. You know, now some people woke up and said, after all, Peter walked on water. In Indonesia, true story, and they went to walk on water, and it was a moving stream, and he carried all of them. All of them died. You not see problem. See, why will Peter walk and I will not walk? You understand? So, understanding these dimensions will help you. So, there is the understanding of the two aspects of this, which is the Logos and the Rhema. In Christian theology, Rhema and Logos are both terms used to describe God's word, but they differ in meaning and in application. The Logos, like the word, is this there, is the totality of the word of God. The Logos is the written word, the body of truth. The Logos is the general revelation of his will, particularly found in scriptures. It is the comprehensive and universal word that applies to all believers and encompasses divine truth and doctrine. For instance, if you check the Greek word in John 1:1, the Bible says, in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. All things were made by him. Nothing was made that was made without him. In him was life. The light was the light of men. In verse 14, I say, and the Word became flesh. Now, that is talking about the Logos. You know, the Logos, the thought of God, the body of truth, the written word, you know, the general body of truth. He was talking about Logos. And so over 330 times, you see the word, you know, translated Logos like that. For instance, if you go to Hebrews chapter 4, when it says the word of God is quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, even to the dividing asunder of the souls and the marrow, is an intent of the heart, you know. Okay, look at that. For the word of God is quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of the souls and the spirit and the joints and the marrow, and is a descender of the thought and the intent of the heart. You know, neither is there any creature that is manifest in the sight, but all things are naked and open unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. Now, he's talking about the Logos there. You know, so you make do well to go to your concordance and check up all of these things. All the times it was translated Logos. Now, the second dimension of God's word is the Rhema word. On the other hand, the Rhema is a specific spoken word from God that is often a direct revelation or message for a particular moment or situation. So, Rhema is a specific word to a specific person in a specific time at a specific situation. So it's a direct word. So the Rhema word of God is personalized, alive, and active in the heart of the believer, you know, through the Holy Ghost. So the key, what's the key distinction? So Rhema word is God's word to you in the situation you find yourself. So what is God telling you? You know, now the key distinction. Yes, the Logos is a constant, unchanging word of God, while the Rhema is more of a personalized word given in a specific circumstance. Now, I want to bring it home so you understand. You know, however, I must make this point. The Rhema will always come from the Logos. So the Logos is the foundation for the Rhema word. You know, so... Well, like I said, in Matthew 14:28, when Jesus told Peter to come, it was a specific word to Peter. You understand? Master, if it's you, bid me come. That was a Rhema. And Peter acted on the Rhema. That's why he began to walk. You know? Now, look at this again. At the temptation, when Jesus was tempted by the devil in Matthew chapter 4, you saw something happen. And Satan came. Jesus had been fasting for 40 days and 40 nights, and Satan came to him. If you are the Son of God, turn this stone to bread. The next thing he saw was that Jesus said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. That was a rhema word. So you don't necessarily, if you are in a situation, in a temptation and all that, to overcome that temptation, you will not have to have the whole body of truth, the whole Bible. God has to quicken a word for you. So you must have that word. Most of the time people have issues. For instance, somebody has cancer and then they send prayer point. Let all of us begin to pray and everybody will... See, for instance, as a person, I don't like emergency things. Long before those things happen, we should have handled it and dealt with it. You understand? Because as at the time of emergency, people's hearts are anxious. You know, especially if you are the person is connected to you or you are the person involved. Probably I'm going to tell you a testimony what happened to me in December. You know, something happened personal, and it happened that my wife had ectopic pregnancy. And ectopic pregnancy, now all our mates are gone. Our mates are gone. So there was the time we got to the hospital to check out something, the scan did not pick it. Wow. So with the fact that the mates are gone, we could not do a follow-up. So she's been having some pains, you know, and all of that, some bleeding constantly. It ran for over a month plus. And if you're a doctor, you know that ectopic pregnancy is a medical emergency. Many people have died from ectopic pregnancy. So by the time we got in, no, one day somehow we're in the house and something happened and all that. I was in the bedroom and I said, oh, honey, and all that. She collapsed. Because she had to do all the work in the house and all of those stuff, babies and all that. And then she's collapsed. And I said, wow. So we had to help her 2 a.m. to get to the hospital. And when we got to the hospital, they said, this is an emergency. And she has to immediately go in for surgery. So they got to surgery and did salpingectomy and all of that and all that. But see, I didn't call one single person from my church. Why? Before all of those things happened, we have banked up prayers. Prayers had gone ahead. There is no year. We don't pump prayers. So whenever things happen, you are cool. In my spirit, I was calm. I was cool. I didn't call a single person in my church. I mean, we finished. We came back. I was taking care of our 3 kids. We came back and I was dancing. Yeah, Thanksgiving. They didn't even know what was happening. It was long after I told them. You know, so long after, before things happen, you got to be smart to push ahead, pray ahead. You know, I mean, now, I would have explained the details to you. When I see Setman, I will do that later because I don't have time. You know, but let me show you something, you know, with regards to this. When you read Ephesians chapter 6, Paul was concluding his teaching on spiritual warfare. And this was what he said. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand, having your loins guarded with truth, having on the breastplate of righteousness, your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, take the shield of faith with which you quench every fiery dart of the wicked one. And the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Now, look at that, verse 17. Yeah, this is where I am, you know. Now, this is it. All of the weapons were defensive. All of the weapons, about 5 of them, from the loins gathered, the breastplate, the helmet, the shoes shod, all of them, except the sword of the Spirit. So the sword of the Spirit is the spoken word of God, which is the rhema word. So when you come into spiritual combat, when you come into spiritual warfare, what it means by that, like I said, somebody has a cancer and you are bombarded on every side, you need to get the sword of the Spirit. You will not overcome that battle without the sword. Nobody wins a battle on a defense. If you are playing football and you are defending, the more you defend, very soon they will score you goals. So we are not to defend. We are to attack. We are an attacking. We are an enforcing. We are a moving army. So what is he talking to say? You know, all of these other weapons are defensive. Only the sword of the Spirit, which is a dual weapon for defense and for attack. So it says, amen, and take unto you the sword of the Spirit, which is the spoken word, which is the rhema word. Which is the rhema word of God. Amen. You know, and so with the sword of the Spirit, you cannot win any war. Let me show you one more so you understand. Luke chapter 5, verse 1 to 5. Now, I'm showing you that so that you understand the operations of the word of God. So you don't say, this thing didn't work, this thing didn't work. No, it is working. But you must understand the difference. So if you read your Bible, if you just read it in English, you will just say, word. No, it's not just word. Now, look at this now. Look at what happened there. And it came to pass that as the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God, he stood by the lake at Gennesaret, you know, and saw two sheep standing by the lake. But the fishermen were gone out of them, and they were washing their nets. And he entered into one of the sheep, which was Simon's, and prayed him that he would thrust a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the people out of the sheep. That's talking about Jesus. Now, when he left speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep and let your net for a draught. So Jesus is telling Simon, launch into the deep. Remember, Simon was already washing his net. Now, when he left speaking, note next verse, and Simon answering, look at Simon's response. Simon answering said unto him, Master, we have toiled all night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, shapalata. See, God's word is coming to you. God's rhema is coming to you. The things that have not been working before, from today, they will begin to work. They will begin to work. They will begin to move forward. They will begin to come alive. In the name of Jesus. He said, but at your word. So Peter has failed that day. No fish. They didn't catch anything. He was washing and giving up and going out of the system and the boat and all that. And Jesus used his boat. And he says, when he finished using his boat, he said, take now, you know, take your net and launch on the other side. And Peter said, Master, see, we have toiled all night. Somebody has passed through a difficult and a toil season. I declare to you that season has come to an end. We have toiled all night. But at your rhema, but at your word, at your rhema, your specific word you are speaking at this time, I will launch out. And look at what happened. Look at the next verse. Look at the result when you obey the rhema of God. And it says, and when they had this done, they enclosed a multitude of fishes and their nets broke. And they beckoned unto their partners, which were in the other ship. Remember, it's not boat, the other ship. Have you ever seen people catch fish? So it was so full. The ship was full, you know, and the ship was sinking. They had to beckon to their partners in the other ship. That will be your story. In the name of Jesus, that will be your testimony. In the name of Jesus. So they beckoned to the other ship that they should come and help. And they came and filled the ships so that they began. This year, the remaining half of this year, God will give somebody a testimony. Oh, a testimony. That is net breaking. That is boat sinking. That is more than enough for you. You alone will not be able to handle it. You will need partners. You will need partners. In the name of Jesus. I prophesy to you, you come to the realm and the time of the overflow. In Jesus' name. Now, we read something from the beginning. And this where is the crux of my message. The application. The application, the protocol for application of God's word. How to become a word practitioner and be blessed by God. Because Jesus' question arose from the beginning was the practice, the doing. You know, people hear, they don't do. How do you call me Lord, Lord, when you are not doing the things I say? You know, and they say the man that hears and does it is the one that lays his foundation on the rock. Now, this is the crux of the entire message we have had this entire week. You know, so we want to see how we can walk the word and experience a solid foundation for times to come. How we can experience radical transformation in our lives, in our home, in our families, you know, in our businesses. And I have about, I will just give bullet points, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 of them. You know. And number one, you know, now, you know, at times when you read the Bible, Bible says if you hear the word of God and do it. Now, there are quite some presuppositions. There are some spaces in between. You need to read the entire Bible to get all of those filled up. I mean, for instance, to do the word of God, there are something you need to know and understand to be able to do God's word. You know, so we want to present all of that protocol to you, you know, about 5 or 7 of them. And as you go ahead to apply that, you will see that applying the word will be normal. Transformation will be normal. I mean, it will not be any issue anymore. So number one is reading. Reading. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 13 is reading. Reading. It says, look at what Apostle Paul said. You know, like I told you, this is the bottom of the message. And I want you to listen carefully. It says, till I come, give attendance to reading, to exaltation, and to doctrine. Till I come, pay careful attention to reading the scriptures. Careful attention to reading the scriptures and to proven authors that have written good books. Like, for instance, you pick up any of Kenneth Hagin's books, lovely books. E.W. Kenyon, you know, although Kenyon's books are more concentrated, you understand? I mean, pick them, pick the Bible. T.L. Osborne will say, if you want to be a good pastor, take Kenneth Hagin, T.L. Osborne books and the Bible and read, especially the epistles. You will see how your whole life radically transformed. That New Testament truth, the new creation, is something else. So pay attention to reading. When you read the scripture, it broadens your foundation. You know, so many people's foundation is like houses in the UK. Small, small foundation, small, small houses. You know, I mean, I don't want to stay in that kind of small, small houses. It will broaden your foundation. Reading will make a broad man. You need to read. You need to read. There is no two way about it. One of the blessings and benefits of reading the Bible is that over time you will come to understand the logic of God. What do I mean by the logic of God? The way God reasons. There is a way God reasons. You need to understand. So when people wake up and tell you, this is what God, this is what the word of God, or this is what God said, I should just say, no, that's God cannot, God will not, God will never, I can bet my life on it, say that kind of thing. Somebody just wake up and say, in New Testament church, God say, I should divorce my wife and then take your own wife and marry. God did not say that. Yes, and because as we proceed to the end of days and time, deception will multiply. They will come like angels of light. So if you have not read the scripture, that's when they will confuse you. You know, I read one of what Mark Pai said recently, and it was really, it was funny. He said, you know what he said? He said, if you don't read, don't lead. If you don't read, don't lead. It was a nice way of saying, if you don't read, you cannot lead. That's why I say readers and leaders. You got to read with emphasis on the scripture. You know, let me read about Deuteronomy 17, verse 1. Oh, okay, you go and read that later. You were talking about the king and the priest. He was to read the scriptures on a daily basis so that he will have reverence for God. Today in our churches, from the pastorate down to the least people, no reverence for God. It's because they don't read the Bible. Number two is to study the word. So you're reading. Number two is to study. We mentioned that yesterday. 2 Timothy chapter 2 verse 15 says, study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needed not to be ashamed. When you study, you go deep. So you need to study. That word study to show means show yourself diligent. It takes diligence to study continuously. I mean, and that's why the Bible called the Berean Christians noble. They were noble and honorable because they searched these things out on a daily basis. We need to study. You know, go back to the scripture. Now, life will always present an examination. And the report card, whether you succeed or not, is a feedback. There is no one, nobody, even in the worst medical school we went to, that really, really study, except there are demonic, occultic issues that will not pass an exam. Exams, they were not set to make you fail. They were made to make you pass. So, take time to study. This is the time to go get the study materials. Get the Greek and Hebrew lexicon. Get the commentaries. I read this gentleman, Mensah Tabel. He said, I want to teach you one message and all that. I have read 40 commentaries. 40 commentaries on one message. I'm not surprised. It's one of the stars from Africa. You go to Ghana, you will see all manners of prophets. You think you have prophets in Nigeria? All manners of madness. All manners of madness. Talking nonsense. And there's some Christian. He spoke. He called my grandmother's name. My grandfather's name. You know, our village. Our house. What is about all of those nonsense? Read the Bible well. So, take time to study. Number three is memorize the Bible. Begin to memorize quotations from the scriptures. It's important. Our people have started losing this thing. You understand? Especially your children, their brain is still fresh. Get them to memorize the Bible. And you too, memorize the Bible. You know, because when you memorize the Bible, you are fastening the word to your soul. We need to memorize the scriptures. So you read it, you write it, you speak it, you repeat it. Read it, write it, speak it. You know, most of the time, you know, when I teach, I write down almost every of my messages. As early as 4 a.m., you know, I've started, you know, as I spend time finish worshiping, and every message I teach, you know why? It registers. You know, like our minister's meeting, you know, I did not carry a book, but you could see the systematic outline. Yeah! You know, there's something that when you write from your pen, it registers in your mind. Write the scripture. You give somebody, for instance, I give my son, John 3:16. Tell him to study it, to memorize it, and tell him to write it down. So as you write it, you speak it to yourself. You repeat the process again. The thing is sticking, you know, into your heart. That's how the Jewish people have been able to indoctrinate their people and their children. So that their culture, even with the invasion of the Western world, you know, the internet and all that, they've still been able to preserve their culture and their sanctity. We think we have seen anything. We have not seen anything, though. All this one that somebody say, I'm a gay, I'm a this thing, they are about to explode. You understand? With AI, you will see things. So this is the only way we can preserve our systems and our sanctity. Take time to memorize the scripture. Now, the next one you move over is to meditate. Everywhere they mention the word meditation, it was linked to prosperity and to success. In Psalm 1, verse 2 to 3, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in it doeth he meditate day and night. His leaf also shall not wither, so whatsoever he doeth shall. See the certainty of God's word. He said, it's because I'm selling ekpa and builders. No, whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. It's because I'm on the backside of the desert. Wheresoever he is, he shall prosper. You understand? In Joshua chapter 1, verse 8, he said, this book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, but thou shalt meditate upon it day and night, observing to do all that is written therein. Said, then. Before then, it will not happen. Hey, it will not happen. You know, you see, before I tell you truth, I've told myself hard truth. That's why, I mean, some of us are making progress. Some of us don't want to hear the truth. You see, before then, it will not happen. Then you will make your way prosperous. That word prosperous means you will make forceful advancement. You will have favorable outcome. You have a favorable journey in life. Oh, you make your way prosperous, and then you have good success. I submit to you, it is only the word of God that can give you good success. What do I mean by that? There are so many people who have bags of money, billions of money, but their marriages are broken. Their children are in drug. They are in caught up with demonic habits and homosexuality and all that. Come on, you want to call that good success? No, that is not good success. It's only God's word that can give you good success. And this is the protocol for good success. Take the word of God, meditate upon it, mutter it, visualize it, think upon it, and then you will make your way. Because what does happen? It will first build the consciousness of success or prosperity or wealth before it manifests on the outside. Many Christians are looking for things to happen on the outside. Listen, that's no foundation that will support that kind of a life. Collect some sense. You understand? You know, the way God works, God works from inside out. So if God wants to work anything, work from the inside. So you put a foundation on your inside, and out of that, it will bring forth things on the outside that is sustainable and lasting. If you have not been it, you cannot become it. See, when I learned that, I told myself, you go settle down. You basically say, I'm a Babylonian. And inside you is poverty. So take time and meditate. The next one is to speak the word. Speak the word. I told you yesterday about Jesus being the apostle and the high priest of our profession. What does that mean? That when you say things here on earth, or you speak God's word, that word profession is homologia. Homologia talks about assenting, saying what he is saying. As you say what he says, he will take it to the Father and present it before the Father as your high priest before the Father and ensure that it is established here on earth. Bible says, whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but believe that those things we say shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he says. What does that mean? He's saying that whatsoever he said is Lego. Lego is building blocks, building blocks. When you say things, you give God blocks to build the foundation of your life. When you say the right things, you give God blocks to build the foundation. When you say nothing, nothing is happening. So are you saying the scripture, or you are saying what you are seeing? Every time you say the things you see, not the scripture, you are negating Bible. When God saw the situation, and the earth was without form and void, darkness was upon the face of the deep, the Bible said, and God said, let there be light. We call the things we want to see and not the things we are seeing. Somebody shout glory. My goodness. I know how that has saved me. I could not have made it through life not knowing the very fundamental principles of faith. The next thing I want you to do is the hearing. Somebody say hearing. The Bible says faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Faith cometh by hearing. It cometh by hearing. It's not by having heard. Listen, my good friend, when you finish, take those tapes, listen to them again and again and again. That's what I do. See, honestly, it's like a joke. I don't get, see, have you noticed that if you're a poor person, nobody has your time? They didn't tell you. If they didn't tell you, I'm telling you now. If you don't organize your life, you understand? They will invite people to party. They will invite you. What am I? Okay, let me put it in a better way. Your value and your relevance is the results you have. I mean, a lot of people invite me to places. I mean, I want you to come and do podcast. If I was a failure, they would invite me now. I know that. That's why I had to settle down with God's word. See, this word of God, you know the thing we talk about John and Peter. You know, James, you know, after that, the Bible says when they apprehended them and took them and began to question them, but this Bible says that they took notice of them, that these were unlearned fishermen. And they took notice of them. And the Sanhedrin called the PHEO that they marveled that they had been with Jesus. Listen, if you sit with Jesus, it doesn't matter where you are coming from. If you sit with Jesus, it doesn't matter whether you never went to school. Those guys were unlearned, ignorant fishermen. But they took note, they will recognize you. I've never seen a man who sat with this word in prayer, in worship, and fellowship with Jesus Christ. And his life was not better than the best men that went to Yale, Harvard, and Stanford. This word. So hearing the word of God. Hearing the word of God. Let me, because I'm gradually rounding up. Hebrews chapter 5 verse 11. Hearing the word of God. Hebrews 5, I saw something and certain man quote it. You know, was saying something around there. I said, wow, God, that is good. Hebrews chapter 5 verse 11. Look at that. Of whom? Now, Paul wanted to go deep. Paul wanted to go deep. You know, and look at what he said. He wanted to talk about Melchizedek. I mean, the priest of God. Look at what happened. Of whom we have many things to say and heart to alter. Look at that. Why? Seeing you are dull of hearing. Seeing you are dull of hearing. Let me read down the whole thing. Then I'll explain that line. For when for a time you ought to be teachers, you have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and have become a church who have need of milk and not strong meat. These are symbols of the word. Milk for babies, strong meat, you know, for adult. For everyone that is that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. You understand? But strong meat belong to them who are full age, even those who by the reasons of use, you know, practice, have their senses exercised to discern between good and evil. But he says, I have so many things to tell you, but you have become dull of hearing. You know what that dull of hearing means? It's not particularly about the hearing. It's about a state of the heart. It has become a state of the heart where the heart has gone wax cross. A disinterest from the heart. You know, the heart is becoming sensitive. The heart cannot hear anymore. When Solomon was talking to God, and God said, what do you want me to give to you? Solomon said, give me an understanding heart. You know what that means? Give me an understanding heart. He was talking about a hearing heart. A heart that is sensitive and receptive to God. So when God word come, you are catching the revelations in your heart. So that's what is important, to hear. So you hear, no one hears. You can see what the emphasis. Hearing. The way I know that you have understood or you have gotten it is that you have heard it again and again until you understand it and we can see it in your life. So the final aspect of this whole one is practice. James chapter 1 verse 20. Five. I'm rounding up now. There's so much word bouncing from everywhere. James chapter 1, verse 21. It says, lay aside all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness and receive with meekness the engrafted word. Lay aside all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness means that, listen, you can be a believer. Now, James is the most practical book of wisdom in the New Testament in all of the epistles. You know, and now James was writing to the people, you know, the practical side of this whole thing. Now, he was saying that, listen, you can be a believer and have, you know, filthiness and naughtiness. You can be wicked and still be a believer. So he said, you know what? Lay aside all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness. Receive with meekness the engrafted word. When God word come to you, you need to receive it with meekness. If you are not meek, if you want to argue with the word of God, I mean, it wouldn't work for you. Receive with meekness the engrafted. What does it mean? The word that is fasting to your soul. As the word comes, as you take time to meditate on the word, as you take time to memorize the word, as you take time to read the word is fasting to your soul. And that word is able to save your soul. What does it mean by save your soul? It's still part about the renewal of the mind. So that wickedness, that ability to manufacture wickedness or live in sin will be converted, will be changed, will be transformed. transformed. So you will change from inside out. We will have experience of a metamorphosis from inside out. So you receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your soul. Now look at the next verse. But be ye doers of the word, not hearers alone, deceiving your own self. Now when you hear God's word and you don't do it, you are in self-deceit. It's a self-delusion. And God said, don't be that. The next verse. If any man hears a word and not do it, it's like a man beholding himself in a natural glass. So he beholds himself and goes away and straight away forgets the manner of who he is. So imagine you look a mirror and you look yourself finished and then you don't know who you are. You don't know your identity. You are confused. Now look at this is the key point and this is where I'm going to end. He said, whosoever, it was enacting a law and a principle, universal, time-tested, self-evident. Look at. That word look at means intently, looking intently. Look at, present tense, continuous. Looks into the perfect law of liberty. The perfect law of liberty is a law that brings complete and total freedom on every aspect of your life. You know, and continue daring. That word continue daring from the Greek is parameno. Para means beside, meno is to remain. So what he's saying is that you tabernacle, you remain, you abide, you stay by the word. You are looking, and you are staying by it. So you don't just look and go. No. I mean, you know, look and leave. Yeah, my God, I leave. The message, that's the message for you now. I've got a message. It's for you now. So for you to practice the word and be a doer of the word, this is the key to it. And what is it? Is that you keep looking at the word and stay beside the word. Tabernacle by the word, remain by the word, dwell by the word, until you see. Now, when you do that, look at that, you will not be a forgetful hearer. Many people are forgetful. As the word is coming, it's going away. Now, you cannot build a foundation on that. Being a forgetful hearer. This is the reason why people are forgetful. You know, he being not a forgetful hearer, but look at that, but the doer of the work. So the word now turns to work. What does that mean? The word you have heard, that you have beheld, you know, will put a responsibility on you. For instance, somebody hurt you, and you have carried bitterness or anger or revenge in your heart. And the word tells you, go forgive that person. Go make it up. And you are still holding on to that. You know, of course, it's a walk because it's not comfortable. That time somebody offend you and God say, go and tell the person sorry. What kind of thing is that? It's a walk. It's hard on your flesh. You understand? It's hard on your emotions. It's a walk. It's like, that's what it means by building on the walk. So you take God's word, no matter how difficult it is, and begin to work it. You are a spouse and all that. Your husband and wife, you may come to each other. This stuff will happen. The Bible says marriage is a party of two forgivers. But so many of us are carrying so many hurt on the inside. There is no, you know, when you forgive and you forgive freely from your heart. So the way you know it is that when it does another thing, you put it on top. You know, some people, they even have a diary. In January 1990, you did this. You know, you did this again. You can't forgive that way. You forgive from your heart. Now that's work. And love freely, you know, without any holding back. So the word of God you have heard, the word of God you have beheld, will put a responsibility of work on you. Man, look at what it says. This man shall be blessed in all the days. And this is where I begin to rest my case. Listen, Shebi, they told you that we are blessed with all spiritual blessings in heaven, blessings in Christ Jesus. That is true. But it's two things. There is a legal aspect of our redemption, and then there is a vital aspect of our redemption. The legal aspect of our redemption is what Jesus Christ did in his death, his burial, and his resurrection, and what he has procured for us. So everything you need for life and godliness is legally available to you. It's yours. You know, it's yours. Everything you can think of, name it, is made available. However, in Ephesians chapter 1, blessed be God, the Father of our Lord Jesus, who has, it's not going to, he has, blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. So, however, they are in spiritual and then heavenly places, they encourage Jesus. Now, how do we bring it down to earthly places and enjoy it and manifest it? You know, how does it become our vital experience? This is what he's talking about. This is where the scripture is. That's why I say, this man shall be blessed in all his deed. Everything he does, he shall be blessed. Stand up on your feet. So much word everywhere. So much word everywhere. Amen. God pumping it from everywhere, from every angle, with clarity, precision. I must be honest with you. When I came in, I had my general notes. I had to wake up every morning to write what he has told me to write and to present and send it to the church. I want to lift those hands and thank him. I want to thank him. Give him praise. The way it happened in this kingdom is that when you take the word of God you have heard and go walk with it, you will see it. You will see the manifestations of it. Oh, every other way is not a sure way. Every other way does not have a foundation. Every other way is not sustainable. Every other way is just for a short while. This is a way that is sure. This is a way that is certain. This is the way that will produce result all the time. Father, we give you thanks. Father, we give you praise. Father, we give you glory. Father, we give you honor. Thank you because your word has come to all of us. We have received your word with meekness. Heard the engrafted word, which is able to save our souls. And today, Lord God Almighty, I pray, oh God, for Surpassing Grace Assembly and for every member of Surpassing Grace Assembly. I pray, Lord God, that the heavens open over you in the name of Jesus. I pray, Lord God, that the rains of God will fall upon you. Oh, the rains of God will fall upon you. Oh, the Bible says, ask ye the Lord rain in the time of the latter rain. The Lord will make bright clouds and give showers of rain upon everyone grass in the field. Upon Surpassing Grace Assembly, Lord God Almighty, oh God, will provoke heaven's rains and let the rain of revival fall. Let the rain of renewal fall. Let the rain of refreshing fall. Let the rain of the blessings of God, the favor of God, the fullness of God fall, and let it fall upon everyone, upon their system, upon their structures, and let it bring forth, oh God, something new, something great, something mighty, oh God, a transformation and a reformation, oh God, that no one can be able to gainsay, in the name of Jesus. Upon every one of us, Lord, that have come into this meeting, the word has gone forth. You have sent your word. Let this word bring forth healing in their bodies in the name of Jesus. Let this word bring forth creative miracles in their body in the name of Jesus. Let this word that has come forth fix their home and their marriages in the name of Jesus. Let this word that has come forth speak their careers and their finances in the name of Jesus. I lose testimonies in this house. I lose the intervention of God. I loose miracles, signs and wonders. Everyone in this house, under the sound of my voice, we give a testimony of your goodness in the mighty name of the Lord Jesus. The hand of the Lord come upon you in the second half of this year, and that it come upon Elijah, and you will outrun the king chariots in the name of Jesus. God gives you speed. God gives you acceleration. Oh God of heavens, that you will move upward and forward in the name of Jesus. It shall be said of you, oh, like Peter, you will have a boat sinking, neck breaking catch in the mighty name of the Lord Jesus. People will wonder at the wonders of your God in your life. Father, we give you praise. We release angelic forces to hold forth this word and to confirm it in the lives of everyone in the church. Thank you, Lord God, because your name is lifted, your name is glorified. Oh, Lord God Almighty, in Jesus' holy name, we are praying. Somebody shout.